Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. It is Free Advice Friday, the second Friday of every month. Each month I take your calls and answer your questions about your narcissistic abuse issues. And if you would like to call in, if you have something you would like to ask me, the number to call in is 424-220-1801. So feel free to call in with your questions. I do have someone that actually emailed me a question, and I will be reading that shortly and answering that. But in the meantime, if you would like to call in, again, the number is 424-220-1801. The first thing I want to talk about is my Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United page on Facebook. Lots and lots of you are joining, and I want to thank you for that because the page is absolutely growing. So if you are listening to the show and you have not yet visited that page, we ask for your support that you go to the page and like it. And the page, again, is Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United. Good news, my book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, A Narcissistic Abuse Survivor's Guide to Healing, is now under literary agent representation. And if you have not published books, which many of you probably have not, that means that a traditional publisher will eventually be picking me up and publishing my book. And that is every author's dream, so I'm really, really excited about that. So I want you to know that it is in the works. Can't promise you when it'll be out, but when it is, this book will be invaluable to you. Okay. And I also want to tell you, if you are interested in counseling with me, my schedule is getting very busy. So whereas I used to be able to take a call pretty much the same day, now we're having to schedule them out. So if you want to schedule an appointment with me for counseling for your narcissistic abuse issues, I suggest that you do it early so that you can get your date and your time. And there's two ways to do that. One place to find it, randygfine.com, randigfine.com/fine-life-issues-counseling. When you go to that page, you'll have an option of booking an appointment by telephone with me or by Skype. So it really just depends on what you're more comfortable with. If you'd like to Skype with me, that means we're face-to-face, and you can see me, I can see you, and it really helps me because I can read your expressions and really see where to go with that. So like I said, I'm getting very busy. So if you're thinking about making an appointment with me, go ahead and do it so that you are on the books. And I think that's about all the business I want to discuss for today. Again, if you'd like to call in and talk to me, the number is 424-220-1801. Well, I'm going to read to you, it's a very brief letter that I received by email. Randy, several people in my family have independently come to believe that my son-in-law has NPD. Yes, many women have doubts about how a daughter is being treated, but we used to get along, and now this man is convincing her that we are awful people. Our daughter has bought into the idea that he is right about most everything. Is there a way to help her see his manipulation? What once was a very close relationship with her has become very strained. What can we do as outsiders to support her and let her know we'll be a shoulder to lean on when she needs us? Thanks for any help you can offer. Well, I do have an answer for that. First of all, this is not an easy thing. It's very frustrating because once someone is under the spell of a narcissist, it's very hard for them to listen to rational behavior or rational explanations or anything like that. And they come to believe that they can't survive without this person. And that's all part of what keeps them stuck there. So there's a couple things I would recommend that you do. First, if you can possibly get her alone, just do it just to have a good time. And while you're out having a very good time, just make it very light so she can remember that being with you is really great and she really would want to do that. And then somewhere during that time, you can acknowledge that you know she's in a predicament and that it's been very hard for her to deal with. And you can say that you know she feels torn at times between her husband and her family and that you don't want to add to that pressure. So you just want to remind her that you're just there as you've always been, and remind her that she's not alone and there is always a way out of a situation if she should feel that she wants a way out. Tell her that she is loved no matter what. And my question is she someone that used to make clear decisions? Because if now she's feeling like she cannot make these decisions, it would be great to remind her, we really, really thought so much of you when you decided to blah, 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 or anything that made her independent. And further down the line, and another thing to say would be, if you can get a foot in the door, I wouldn't rush this too quickly, but one thing to say to her is, someone who loves you would want you to have more love in your life, not less. They wouldn't want to keep you exclusively for themselves because they wouldn't want to isolate you that way. So anyone that's trying to do that maybe isn't loving you as much as they are holding you hostage. And you should always trust your instincts. If you ever trusted them before, you know what it's like to trust your instincts. If something doesn't feel right, it isn't. And we are always here, and we love you no matter what. You won't hurt us. You're not going to hurt us. We just want you to know that we unconditionally love you. There are a couple of articles on my website, randygfine.com, that should you get that foot in the door, I would recommend. It's always better when someone is not really open to listening to your intervention, so to speak, to let them learn it on their own. And I always recommend that, if you have siblings or whatever, if you try to explain narcissistic personality disorder and the abuse to people, they're going to scoff at it and they're not going to be receptive. So I always try to give them an article and say, you may want to take a look at this, because I find that everyone that comes to me for counseling has listened to my shows or read my articles, and their eyes have been opened up. They finally are beginning to understand, and now they're receptive and they want to heal. So the best way to do it is to offer an article or a radio show or a YouTube video or something like that that explains what you're trying to explain. And there are four that I want to recommend, and they're all on my website. Some are shows to listen to, and others are articles to read. One is, and this is my most recent article on my website, 5 Gaslighting Techniques Used by Narcissists. If she reads this article, or anyone that you're trying to get this across to reads this article, they're going to see all the mechanisms that are being used against them, and they'll begin to recognize that there's a name for this. The other thing, the toxic relationship between narcissist and partner. I can't remember if that's an article or a show, but that is the title, and you can find it on my website, The Toxic Relationship Between Narcissist and Partner. The third one is Letter to Abused Women Now or Ever. And the fourth one is Abuse Campaign of Pathological Narcissists. So if you go to, if you direct someone to those pages, then you don't have to really explain it so much as you do. Just let them figure it out on their own. Again, this is a call-in show, and if you'd like to call in and talk to me and get your questions answered, the number to call in is 424-220-1801. I love when you share your situations, and other people can hear it, so it's great. And if you can't call in, you know, you can always email me ahead of time at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Remember, Randy's always spelled with an I, not a Y. Excuse me, randygfine.com. So send me your letters in advance, and I will answer them on the air just as I've answered this one. Today I want to talk about the golden child. And the reason I want to talk about the golden child is because it is a great misconception, even by the golden child, his or herself, that it is a preferred role and less abusive. And that is absolutely not true. And if you are a scapegoat child or an invisible child in the family and you've always envied that golden child, I want you to know that it's not an enviable role. I was a golden child. And what happens with the golden child is that they become objectified. So in other words, when that child comes into this world, the parent has a false image of who they want that child to be. And the child is expected to live up to that image. But at the same time, they are not treated as if they're an individual or treated as if they have a self. So everything about that child is about pleasing the parent and keeping that parent happy. And the golden child knows that that is their role. And they do everything that they can to try to keep the parent happy while sacrificing the person that they are and while feeling guilty for becoming an individual. I know that because, like I said, I was. When it came time for me to go away to college, I felt like I could not leave my mother. It was very scary. I thought that her whole entire world would fall apart if I left, and so I didn't. And that, for me, turned out to be a very bad thing because it was a point in my life where I really needed to grow up, and I was not allowed to grow up living at home. I stayed at home, and it was a very tumultuous time. I ended up running away several times, not telling them where I was. I was just trying to be myself. But the other thing is with the golden child, for instance, my mother always told me that I was perfect and that I really, the message was, not in so many words, is that I really didn't have to put forth a great effort in life because it was just all going to come to me. Everyone was going to love me. Everyone was going to think I was beautiful. And that was just going to be my life, this fairy tale life. Well, it's a rude awakening when you hit adulthood, and that is not true. But this has been programmed into your mind for a good 18 years. And that when things go wrong in your life, that it's never your fault. It's always someone else's fault. They're jealous of you. Whatever it is, they're crazy. They have mental problems. It's never your fault. And so you learn that you don't have to take responsibility for anything because nothing is ever your fault. This is a very, very serious injury to inflict on a child. The golden son in particular has a really hard time. The golden daughter is one thing, and it is not an easy role to play, and believe me, I am not diminishing it because I suffered it. And my sisters thought that I had everything. They thought that I had it made. And as soon as I stepped out of my role, they scrambled right into it because they were so hungry for that kind of attention. And I got plenty of attention. But it's all because I became what my mother wanted me to be in every aspect. And so, of course, this is what she set forth for me, and this is what I became. So that was my experience as a golden child. And I've had a very hard time dealing with, not so much. I mean, I did have trouble dealing with romantic relationships. I'm in a very, very good marriage now. But with female friends, it was very, very difficult for me because I just expected that people were going to like me for me. But I also tried. I over-tried. I was just trying to please everybody the way I knew because I thought that's how people will like you, if you please them. And so both of these messages were very misconstrued and very confusing for me because I'm pleasing people, but they're not really liking me. And it was very hurtful for me. So I had a lot of bad situations with female friends. And I don't know if it was them or me or just the combination, the perfect storm. I don't know what it is. But I was not well adjusted in that regard. My mother always told me my friends were jealous of me. So, sure, I go into life, and when people don't treat me right, what's the first thing that comes into my head? They're jealous of me. Well, that's not necessarily true. They weren't necessarily jealous of me. Maybe I did something, or maybe I said something, or maybe I was such a doormat that they had no respect for me. I really don't know. But these are casualties of being a golden child. And the golden son is it's a really hard role to play, like I said. And it is very, very difficult for the golden son to pull away. In order to keep the favor of his mother, he has to submit to total enmeshment with her. And for that constant enmeshment, constant praise and adulation is his reward. So it's constantly enforced to him how perfect, handsome, and charming he is. And nobody in his life is ever going to make him feel as entitled and superior as his mother does. But at the same time, he's not immune to the head game she plays. So he doesn't really know what's happening to him. And at the same time that the mother is telling him how wonderful and perfect he is, she's also trying to keep him from getting too full of himself, because if he gets too full of himself, there's a chance that he'll pull away. So she alternates between boosting his ego and figurative emasculation. So she keeps him off balance to keep him dependent on her. The narcissistic mother will use dependency tactics on her sons, like gaslighting, infantilization, and triangulation. But another abuse tactic that's sometimes used with golden sons is known as emotional incest. Now, emotional incest is a word we all know. Emotional incest is not incest of a sexual nature. It's kind of a form of emotional seduction that parents initiate with their children. And often, mothers of golden sons will do this. They sort of turn their sons into surrogate parents, and then they expect them to meet all their needs, all their adult needs. This is a child that becomes the mother's little man. if she has a husband or a partner, that person's going to take a back seat to this child, and she's going to do strange things like sort of flirting with him, kissing him, touching him more often than it's normal. Because I know, you know, with my son, who I'm not a narcissistic mother and he's not a golden son. I love both of my children equally. But he got to an age, he used to be very attached to me. He got to an age where he didn't want me to touch him and he didn't want me to kiss him. And the most I ever got was he would bend his head and I got to kiss the top. But if I stayed there too long, I was in trouble. And I respected that because that's him developing a self. But the narcissistic mother does not want her children, or especially her son, to develop a self. And so the message is that these men take into life is that they're only going to be liked or loved if they're subordinate. So it's, you know, this catering to their mother becomes like a way of life, and then in life, they feel like they have to cater to everyone else, and it becomes the doormat syndrome, where people will use and abuse them, as people did with me. And I, you know, I always thought that it was them, not me, until I realized that I had codependent issues, and that eventually realizing that this all stemmed from my childhood. But as adults, the golden child's worth hinges entirely on others' opinions of him or her. And this person forever struggles with self-respect. And men who are psychologically possessed by narcissistic mothers really have trouble with relationships and emotional intimacies, because at a very deep level, they always belong to their mothers, and so they're very torn between their wife saying, stand up for me, and not wanting to hurt their mother. And, you know, narcissistic mothers do not like the women that their sons date because they think their property is being stolen from them, and they begin this all-out war. Sometimes it's subtle and covert. Sometimes it's very obvious and overt. And any woman that sticks around in this situation is going to be fighting an endless battle until the man eventually realizes what he's been through and is willing to get some help to help separate him from, you know, this tremendous emotional conflict that he's in. There's a lot of anger that lies below the surface of these men. And so while they're completely devoted to their mothers, inside they harbor resentments, terrible resentments against their mothers for destroying their lives and destroying their relationships. And they can't lash out at their mothers because they have been taught that their mothers will love them when they please them. So instead, they lash out at women, other women. And some of them become womenizers. Some of them are very aggressive towards women. So it's very different for golden sons who eventually decide they're going to seek autonomy from their mother, because this greatly offends their mothers. Their mothers don't want them to make any efforts toward independence. That, to the narcissistic mother, is the ultimate betrayal. Independence is the ultimate betrayal, which is just tells you right there how sick this whole thing is, because it is our given right when we're born to grow, emotionally progress, and become an independent individual. Parents don't own children. They bring them into this world and raise them, and then it's that child's prerogative how they want to live their life. So narcissistic parents don't see things that way. They don't see that their child has the prerogative to live their life the way they want to. And so sons in particular, now that I'm talking about that, when the sons pull away, the mothers go on the warpath, and they make every effort to sabotage the things that the son does in life. And generally, when the son is trying to become independent, he hasn't gone no contact with the mother, but he's trying to reason with her and saying, you know, please let me be. Well, reasoning doesn't work with a narcissist. There's no possible way on this earth to reason with a narcissist because they don't think the way we do. So he finds himself talking to his mother, trying to share things with her, trying to pacify her, and she's constantly sabotaging him, ridiculing his achievements, capitalizing on his successes, humiliating him in front of his friends and maybe coworkers and maybe children. And it becomes impossible for the son to redeem himself. So this is a very, very difficult thing. And what happens is the son doesn't like that. This feels very off, very horrible, because he's always been his mom's favorite, and now she's doing everything to destroy him. So he tries to get back in her good graces, and he does things for her, and at the same time, he's trying to live his own life. Well, she doesn't like that. And if the mother, you know, this is the thing about the narcissistic parent. If they cannot have full compliance from their children, sons or daughters, they don't want them at all. There is no middle ground. They are resentful of anyone who takes away their supply, and there will be no end to the vengeance and cruel crusade that they will undertake or undergo against you. So, a lot of times children of narcissistic parents have a very hard time believing that the parent did not have them to love them, and that any semblance of love was a facade, because the narcissist has one agenda in life, and that agenda is to capture a host to feed off of. That is it. It's very hard for us to boil down our entire childhood and all the years that we've had a relationship with our parent or parents to boil it down to the fact that all we were was a captive host that they wanted to feed off of. And when I say feed off of, I'm talking about narcissistic supply. Narcissistic supply is admiration, adoration, and attention. And that's all they want from us. That's from the moment we came into the world. That's the only, that was the only use we had to them. We were of no other use to the narcissistic parent. And then, you know, and I often ask my clients, you tell me that you were loved as a child. Tell me why you feel you were loved. And the answer I always get is, well, they put a roof over my head. They fed me. They bought me clothes. They took me to school. They drove me places. I say, okay. Well, isn't that the responsibility of a parent? Not the favor of a parent, but the responsibility of a parent when they bring a child into this world. You cannot bring a child into this world, not feed them, clothe them, or put a shelter over their head. So this is not something to feel guilty for or to feel loved for. These are things that are expected of every single parent. Love, on the other hand, is another story. Parents who love their children love them no matter who they are, what they say, or what they do. They love them no matter who they become in life. Love is love. They don't judge them. They don't call them names. They don't play games with them. They don't sabotage the choices that they make or the things that they do. So many narcissistic parents tell their children what they're going to be when they get older. And that child does not have a choice but to become what that parent expects them to be, because life will be a living hell if they go against that parent. You know, I've even heard of cases where parents insist that, you know, when their child has a child, that they name the child what the parent wants them to be named. And this is a very, very tough situation, because here you are with a brand new baby, and you're very vulnerable, and you're trying to enjoy this child, and this pressure is being put on you to name a child something you don't want to name them. But believe me, this happens. So the other thing about being a golden child, and this is something that I found really, really hard to deal with myself. As the giver and the pleaser and the fixer of all my relationships, I found being on the receiving end of the favor of others and the kindness of others, I found that very uncomfortable. It was never a role I played. So when people were nice to me, I didn't know what to do with that. It felt creepy. You know, I still struggle with that to this day. When people tell me how well I'm doing, it's real hard for me to receive that, but I do, and I've learned to be able to receive it and to accept it, but there's still this little teeny part of me that feels like I'd rather just be praising them and not have to get any of the praise back. So that's one of the casualties that I have suffered, and I think other golden children suffer that as well. So that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about. I have a few more minutes if anyone wants to call in. The number is 424-220-1801. If you're listening to the show and you have a question, or I sparked some kind of thought in you, give a call and ask. And like I said in the beginning of the show, you can always email me ahead of time with your questions. Some people are not comfortable with calling in, and other people just can't call in at 11 a.m. when I do my show. And that's perfectly fine. I understand that. But if you are listening live, it's always great to call in and share. Just even share what you're doing right, or if you've sought out counseling, how it's helping you. And that's another thing I really kind of want to touch on, because it's something that I hear from every single client who calls me for counseling. Every single person has tried counseling before. Some have been in it for years and have never gotten help. And there's a misconception that just because someone has a degree or a title or a PhD, whatever they have, that they are skilled in dealing with narcissistic abuse. Well, I had someone call me the other day for counseling who's actually a therapist, who said, I didn't know any of this, and I didn't even know this was happening to me. That's because there's no training for this. So my goal, you know, and the people that I work with, the people that come to me for counseling, the first call, they're always so confused and they don't know how they're ever going to get better. By the fourth call, they're already taking off and handling life. So I'm able to get right to the meat of it. Whereas, you know, if you go to other therapists, you can be in there for years and never really get to the core of what's going on. It really takes someone who has lived through narcissistic abuse, as I have, to be able to help someone who's going through the abuse issues. You cannot train someone to understand this. It is far too complicated, too twisted, too crazy. It defies logic. So that's why I'm here. And my goal, and this is a very lofty goal, but you know what? I'm going to accomplish it, because I've accomplished all my goals. When my book is published, this book is going to be published internationally in many languages, because this is a problem that is worldwide. This is not just in the United States or Canada or United Kingdom or any countries that you know, frequently listen to these shows. This is worldwide. And the only way to disarm a narcissist, the kryptonite that disarms the narcissist, is awareness of everyone else. So that is my platform, is to really get out there and become the spokesperson for all of you. Make the world aware of these people so they curl up and go away. This is the only thing we can do. This is epidemic proportions. There are millions of narcissists out there in the world, and they're going to touch our lives in some way at some time. There's just no way to avoid it because there's so many. So if you're wondering, why don't people understand this, just give me time, because that is my goal. I'm here to represent you. I'm here to spread this word. I'm here to make people aware of it. And when people are aware of it, they're going to be kinder to those who have suffered the abuse, because they don't understand it. When I begin to tell people what I do, they are so curious that I could speak for hours about what this is and what this does to people. They are so fascinated. They say, Randy, why haven't I ever heard about this before? Well, that's because nobody knows about this. This is not out there unless you've experienced it. My daughter, has always been the editor of my books. She's fantastic. That's not what she does for a living, but she happens to be fantastic at it. So I always use her. And she didn't know what narcissistic personality disorder or the effects of its abuse. She was editing my book, and she learned all about it. And she came to realize that she has worked for a narcissist, and it's why she's felt so miserable in the position that she's been in, where she was in the same company before and really happy, and all of a sudden she changed apartments and she's miserable. And it's all because she was working for a narcissist. So if you know, this is important that people understand this. And when this book comes out, it's such a fascinating topic that people are going to read it regardless of whether or not they've been abused, know someone who's been abused. They just are going to read it out of curiosity because this is very, very interesting. Now, it is interesting when you've been the victim of it, but it's also extremely painful and extremely frustrating. So I just want to bring awareness to this topic and assure all of you that I'm going to do whatever it takes to do that for you, and that there will come a day where people will understand this. Let's see, what else? Oh, okay. If you were not able to connect with this show and you would like to call into the next one, that show will be on September 9th, which is the second Friday of September at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. The show runs for 45 minutes, and I will take your call at 424-220-1801. That number doesn't change. If you want to send me a question prior to that show, you certainly can at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. On Tuesday, August 16th, I'm having a very interesting show with the Practical Mystic. She's a metaphysical teacher whose name is Maureen St. Germain. And she's a fascinating person. So that show will be on Tuesday, August 16th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So tune in. If you can't tune in live, you can always tune in later. All shows are recorded and archived after broadcasting, so you can listen to them at any time. That's pretty much what I have to say today. I want to remind you that if you feel like you need counseling, that when you engage me for counseling, you know, for your narcissistic abuse, you're not going to be in it for 6 months or a year. You're going to be in it for maybe a month or two, and then you're going to be fine and on your way. So there's a misconception that once you start counseling, you're going to be in it forever and it's going to cost you a fortune. That is not true. I don't want it to cost you a fortune. My fees are very, very low. And I would take advantage of that, because what's going to happen is once my book comes out and the demand for counseling, you know, intensifies, greatens, the fee is going to go up, and I won't have the time for everybody. So if you have the issues and you want to talk to me, take advantage of this time while I still have the time to talk to you and while my price is still very low. So I encourage you to do that. And I wish you a wonderful day and a wonderful week. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host, author, life issues counselor, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Better way.